You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome into the NFL Draft Bible Prospect Profits presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jack Despo, joined by my co-hosts, Alec Polito and Lorenz Leinweber. On today's show, we're going to kind of do a quick roundup of everything that happened over the weekend. It is week zero of college football. Week zero is done in college football. It is cuts. It's like the cut down week for NFL rosters. And there's a lot of, you know, moving parts going on. Very exciting time. It's football season. It's right about to be football season. It's college football season has started officially. This is a daily podcast feed filled with analysts and experts providing unmatched insight to the NFL, college football, and fantasy football. We provide this feed ad-free, and all we ask in return is that you leave us a five-star rating and check out our written content at si.com/NFL/draft. Fellas, Alec, tell me how you're doing today, buddy.
Doing good. Excited to talk about some of the huge news around the NFL, and maybe not huge things, but definitely a lot. Obviously, cuts are coming, so really excited to talk about it. And college football started.
Yeah, me too. And we're on the podcast network now, so that's exciting. Leave those five-star reviews. But we got week zero action. We got cutdowns going on. We have quarterback trades, starting quarterbacks being named. So let's just get into it. This is an exciting time of the year.
Oh, thank you. All right. So the first topic I'm going to touch base on, it's roster cutdowns right now. And a guy that we talked a lot about in the previous cycle, Marvin Wilson, was cut from the Browns. Fellas, you're our two scouts. What do you think of Marvin Wilson? Why do you think he got cut? You know, have you seen anything about it?
Yeah, I mean sorry, Lorenz, go ahead.
To me, really, it's just it's an off-field problem more so than on-field because, I mean, either I completely missed on Marvin Wilson to me, or there's something that I couldn't evaluate because I wasn't talking to anyone or to Marvin Wilson himself. So I really like I did like Marvin Wilson coming out. I had a mid-round grade on him, third to fourth round grade. I really liked his upper body strength. I thought his hands were pretty good. He had that push-pull move as a pass rusher that he got home with. Not much else, but he definitely had some redeeming traits. He had draftable traits. He went to a situation where the Browns' defensive line is not great right now, and where I thought he would have a good chance to make this roster, got a huge bonus payout, where everything looked likely that he would have, as the talent that he is, I think former 4- or 5-star recruit, would be able to make this roster, but just didn't end up happening. And that just leads me to believe that there's something, you know, that we just can't really have a look at is going on, or that I just missed on the evaluation. But I think a lot of people missed. I mean, there were a lot of people calling him a first round pick early on. That's just how it goes. I still don't think he was an undraftable player. I did think he had think he had draftable traits. Like I said, was potentially a mid round prospect. But what do you think of that whole situation, Alec?
Yeah, well, first of all, I did not think he was an undrafted player. I as well had I think I had a third on him when he came out. I thought there was a lot to like about him. You're talking about a player who before the season was talked about as a top 15 selection potentially in the NFL draft. Obviously, ends up having a little bit of a poor year, drops in the rankings, and I think he only played a couple games, two for Florida State last year. Drops, obviously. I thought he was a third round pick, though. There was still upside to that. And then, you know, gets that huge signing bonus with the Browns. Thought for sure, honestly, he was going to not only play there, but or make that roster, but play there for the season. And it just didn't work out. But I'd be shocked if he doesn't find another opportunity here. I'm a little bit shocked that he hasn't been claimed on waivers but we'll see what comes next for him.
And that can still happen, and if not, you know, you're the guy for the free agent database, so we might get him going on there.
Marvin, football, come on over.
That will be a guy for that. But Jack, what's our next topic?
Yeah, so this one's a little more close to my heart. The Eagles traded a sixth-round pick for Gardner Minshew, the former Jaguars starting quarterback. Trevor Lawrence, the first overall pick, was named as the starter for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That left Gardner Minshew, the former starter, you know, kind of out on a limb. I did a little bit of film work on Gardner Minshew last year. I didn't really like what he saw too much. He was in a otherwise surprisingly functional Jaguars offense, in my opinion. He was kind of the portion. He was the weakest chain in the link. His ability to get passes on time and on target and with enough velocity was not there. A lot of people say that, you know, Minshew should be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I don't really think so. I see him more as a really, really high tier backup. And, you know, if anyone knows anything about the Eagles, you know, Eagles, they love the quarterback factory. They're bringing in as many quarterbacks as they can. For a sixth-round pick and as cheap as Gardner Minshew is, I think that this is a really good pick or a really good trade for them. Jalen Hurts, I've always been, you know, questioning of if he's really the guy. I don't think Gardner Minshew's the guy either, but I think they give him a good, you know, another good backup. I think that's just an idea of keeping the quarterback factory humming. I've talked about this before. Gardner Minshew, his value was extremely high with the Jaguars in terms of his cheapness and his familiarity with the organization and the front office. Obviously, there have been a lot of front office changes, but his value to the Jaguars was always going to be way higher than his value to any other team. And that's that's evident with this sixth-round pick, you know, being included in this trade. I think the Eagles get a solid backup quarterback. You know, people wonder if this means that the Eagles aren't willing to name Jalen Hurts the starter. Lorenz, what do you think about it all?
I mean, first of all, you don't trade for a quarterback a week out of the season and then name that guy the starter. That's not how this works. Even if, and we're not going to get to Deshaun Watson, but if he got traded this week, I doubt he'd start week one. It just doesn't happen that quickly. You got to learn a whole new playbook, and unless you've already been learning it, there's no way. There's no way that Gardner Minshew is the starter for the Eagles. If it does happen, I'll do something embarrassing on our TikTok, whatever. But I want to get into it from the Jaguar side of things a little bit, because it does make a lot of sense to me. Matter of fact, I think it's a bad move for them. Gardner Minshew, they were hesitant to call Trevor Lawrence the starter, and I don't mind making a young quarterback, making a rookie quarterback earn it, and keeping your backup honest, so to say, in behind, because nothing is ever guaranteed, especially with a rookie quarterback. A lot of things can go sideways, and a lot of things can go poorly. They split reps all throughout the summer, all throughout camps. It was 50% first-team reps for Trevor Lawrence, 50% for Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew, to me, is at what he's costing, which isn't a lot right now. I think he's a really good and really capable backup quarterback. So I just don't like... And I'm all for naming Trevor Lawrence a starter. I think he could have given Trevor Lawrence the 75% of first team reps a lot earlier than this. I think he could have just let Gardner Minshew run with the twos. So at the end of the day, it is what it is. I think getting a six back is kind of a joke. Like, at that point, is he better than the backup you currently have? I doubt it, but it does show you what the Jacksonville Jaguars think of Gardner Minshew, and I don't think that is a lot, but I think it's kind of a throwaway. Honestly do. I think Gardner Minshew can be, for what he's costing, cheap, solid backup who can potentially come in and win you a game or two. He's not going to lead you to the playoffs, not going to win a lot of games. We know what he is. There are people out there that are trying to make him more than what he is because he's a funny guy, and he'll sell a lot of jerseys in Philly, and that's all fun and good. I don't think he'll challenge Jalen Hurts. If he does, that's more an indictment on Jalen Hurts, in my opinion. That would be really bad for Jalen Hurts and his outlook. But yeah, I don't think it's a good move for the Jags. I think even if the Eagles have to give up a fifth because he plays, hey, I think that's worth it. I think Gardner Minshew is a capable, is a top 50, top 55 type quarterback on the planet. And therefore, I think a backup quarterback costing the Eagles next to nothing. So I think it's a good move for them.
And I just got this shout out to Rick Saratella sending me this from Ed Werder today. He tweeted out this morning, Urban Meyer on Gardner Minshew. It didn't start off on the best of terms because I'm not sure how much he wanted to be here. I get it. First overall pick. He's competitive maniac, that guy. I told him for the rest of his life, count me as a big fan. But as for my take on the whole situation, I think if I were the Jaguars, the sixth round pick probably isn't worth it to me to have him as a cheap backup. That look at how much money then you have to, because I do think he's a solid backup in this league. And I think look at how much money now you are putting into the quarterback position. You're at such an advantage throughout the league because you're on a cheap backup deal who's one of the better backups in the league, a cheap quarterback deal who has the potential to be one of the better quarterbacks in this league. And if it works out for Trevor Lawrence, that's great. Now, if that's true, what Ed Werder tweeted, and I obviously think it is, he has plenty of credibility and he's quoting Urban Meyer, but if that's true, then obviously Gardner wanted out. So they kind of, I guess, did right by him, giving him a shot to go to a place where we don't know that Jalen Hurts is going to 100% be the starter of the future for them. Now, he's going to be the starter to start the season. We don't know for sure. He hasn't shown enough to be guaranteed the starter of the Philadelphia Eagles for 2022 and beyond. So, hey, you give him a shot to go at it in Philly. I think for Philadelphia, it makes no sense. I mean, it makes so much sense to go for this deal because it's a really cheap backup at worst case scenario. And you're forcing Jalen Hurts to compete. And I'm not saying that Jalen Hurts wouldn't, but you're forcing him to go compete, bring out the competitive fire, right? So, it's not a bad deal for the Eagles. For the Jaguars, if Gardner wanted out, makes sense. If he doesn't, if he didn't want out, I would say why not keep him? But hey, that's for the Jaguars to decide, right?
Yeah, and honestly, looking at the way that the Eagles, you know, treated Carson Wentz in terms of getting a backup, I'd rather do it this way and trade a sixth-round pick for a guy who, you know, a high-end backup rather than spend a second-round pick. Lorenz, were you about to add something, or did I cut you off?
No, it wasn't.
Right. Okay, cool. And moving on. So, Teddy Bridgewater named the starter of the Broncos, the starting quarterback of the Broncos, beating out Drew Lock, the former second-round pick. I'll give it to you at first, Alec. What do you think about that? What do you think about Teddy Bridgewater winning this competition after being traded to the Broncos?
I would like to say that the Broncos, if you look at their roster without the quarterback position, you're looking at a really talented roster. Now, they do have to go up against the Chiefs twice, and I don't think that their roster competes with the Chiefs, but they've got a roster that is good enough where they're going to compete for a playoff spot. But then you got to look at the quarterback position. Drew Lock obviously has had some rough years. Injuries, of course, have affected that, but he's a gunslinger quarterback with a really live arm. With a ton of weapons. It's a little bit more exciting in the offense, Drew Lock. However, George Patton had, I think, Teddy Bridgewater in Minnesota. And he's obviously there now making some decisions for them. So Teddy is more of a, you know, had a good preseason. He's more of a safer bet. He doesn't have the arm that Drew Lock has. But maybe that's what they wanted. Maybe they want Jerry Jeudy running shorter routes and just taking advantage of that, being a big receptions guy. Cortland Sutton, maybe they want him making some contested catches with from Teddy. I don't know. But they make the choice to go to Teddy. I think that Teddy is a really solid player. I just don't know if he's a bridge quarterback, no pun intended. But he's a bridge quarterback, and the question is where they're going next after that. I'm guessing that, you know, they're going to look for a quarterback in next year's draft. Really makes you think maybe Justin Fields was the pick at pick 8 or 9, wherever they took. But Hey, look, Pat Surtain has looked good too, so.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like you said, this is a really good roster on paper outside of the quarterback position. And the choice for them kind of was, or the decision they had to make, is would Drew Lock show enough of consistency? We all know he's got the big arm. He can extend plays. He can roll around, make some things happen as a playmaker. We all know that from watching Drew Lock. The question was more, can you do what 80% of playing quarterback in the NFL is, this fine matchup, is being sound pre-snap, is being accurate with the football, making good decisions, getting the ball out quick, keeping the chains moving. Can you do it in structure? That was really the question with Drew Lock, and obviously all the highlight plays from camp and preseason made it to Twitter, and that's why I was kind of surprised by it, because I thought Drew Lock was having a very good campaign so far, and from everything that we saw. But I think Drew Lock was a fun gamble. At the end of the day, in the second round, I don't want to call his career as a starter right now. I still think there's a good shot that he gets that starting opportunity at some point down the road. Maybe even this season. Hey, who knows? But I think the Broncos looked at Teddy Bridgewater, said, we got a strong roster. We got a good offensive line. We got really good receivers. We got a defense that should be even better now with Pat Surtain was already good last year. Vic Fangio defenses are always going to be good. We want a guy that can do it in structure. Everything I just talked about, be accurate, keep the chains moving. Now, you might lose some games. You're going to lose some shootouts to Patrick Mahomes because Teddy Bridgewater is just not going to put up that many points. But we saw it last year, especially to start the season. Teddy Bridgewater was solid with the Panthers with a supporting cast that you could argue is weaker than what the Broncos have, especially if you look at the offensive line, which where the
you
Panthers
could argue
are.
Or definitely is.
I mean, the wide receivers are still, yeah, but I mean, probably is worse. So I think Teddy Bridgewater, they can make a realistic, they're going to make a run at the playoffs. I'm going to say it right here with Teddy Bridgewater. It's the safer option, and I think at the end of the day, the ability to play within structure and the one out, and I don't think it's a bad call. Matter of fact, I think it's a good call.
Yeah, I think it's a fine call. I've always been a little bit higher on Teddy Bridgewater, but you know, I just rather have Justin Fields. So we're gonna take a quick break from talking football and move on to the top college football game of our opinion, one of the biggest college football game we watched this weekend, and that is the Hawaii versus UCLA game. And specifically, we want to talk about UCLA's performance. You know, my scouts. What did you think of Dorian Thompson-Robinson, also known as DTR, and you know, the quarterback for UCLA, as well as Zach Charbonnet, the running back for UCLA, who had a breakout game? Alec, what did you think about them?
Well, I mean, Dorian Thompson-Robinson was a little wild, looked a little bit out of place there. They did get the win, but looked a little bit all over the place. But Zach Charbonnet is a guy who I liked a little bit in Michigan. I didn't think that the offense necessarily fit him in Michigan. I don't know if anyone ever fits that offense, to be frank. But I didn't love the fit there, but I did like the player. And going to UCLA was real interesting. And I don't think he had many. I didn't see much of the game, I'll be honest with you. But I saw the stat line for him at least, and that was impressive to say the least. I'm hoping he gets more opportunities with UCLA because I do think he's got some burst, and I think he runs like a little bit like a maniac, runs a little bit tough. So I'm excited to see him in that offense for sure.
Yeah, Charbonnet, definitely someone who you could argue was underutilized at Michigan. They had a number of other backs. You talk about Chris Evans, who's been real solid in the preseason, was one of the best backs at the Senior Bowl. I know he had some academic issues, but he was in that backfield. Charbonnet, one of the more exciting, I would say, running back transfers, goes to UCLA. Doesn't really start the game, but he was easily their most impressive running back with his hard running style, and really probably the standout player of week zero. I want to say week one, but it was week zero here as we're shaping up to get into week one, in my opinion. But I agree with you. Dorian Thompson-Robinson looked shaky, didn't look accurate. A lot of the concerns we had with him, I don't want to write him off because of a week zero game against Hawaii. But this was a great opportunity for him to come out guns blazing, be better than a 50% completion percentage, be better than, I think, 103 passing yards at the end of the day. And he didn't. Now there's more pressure on him. But hey, I want to talk about one guy who I thought was as advertised, and he was going up against those Hawaii edge rushers and those Hawaii pass rushers and defensive ends, but that was Sean Ryan, the left tackle at UCLA, going into his junior season. I've heard a lot of talk about him. I have been talking about him. I have been advocating for him as a top 10 pick in a lot of mock drafts, really. That Panthers pick has been the sweet spot for me, for him. For Sean Ryan, I really like his core strength, his grip strength. I think he's one of the best, better tackles in college football. I think he showed why yesterday. Really had a dominant game on Saturday, and I think he if he keeps this up and he's shown continued improvement, better punch, a lot of those things, he does have more than a realistic shot to be drafted in that top 10 that I keep sort of that I think he's got a good chance to go in. I know Sean Ryan is very good. We got Dal in the chat saying the two of us need to get a room, but yeah, there are a lot of talented tackles in college football, and I think he's one of the better ones. He showed against Hawaii, really someone who a lot of people need to talk about more.
Yep, and one last thing that Lorenz wanted to rant about first. Scott Frost said that half his game plan was useless when he played Illinois because they did not line up as expected. Lorenz, I'll give you a quick moment to tell us about that before we let Alec pull us out here.
I mean, Nebraska has been rough for a while. It didn't start off rough when Scott Frost came into the building, came to the door there, off of winning a national championship at UCF, of course, which totally happened, right? But no, that comment, I mean, it's something I get. You know, you do have a game plan, you expect how the opponent is gonna line up, and you find spots where you're gonna attack them, right? And then if they don't, if they hit you sort of with a counter and don't line up as you expect them, and all these plays that you scripted for exactly those looks that you were thinking you were gonna get are then obviously gonna be useless. I just don't think this is just a bad look. I mean, this is just not something you want to say out in public. It's just like you can think that you can tell your quarterback, hey, look, we were drawing up these plays for 2 weeks. I expected we were going to get these looks. We just weren't. We just got to move on. Hey, man, we play a team that we're going to get these looks from, whatever the looks were and however they were expecting them to line up. But you just can't say that. I mean, that's just such a bad look for Scott Frost. So that's just something I quickly want to bring up. I mean, man, someone, all these players are going through media coaching and going through what type of answers they're supposed to give. That was just an all-time bad one because those headlines, they spread so quickly, and it's not going to help him in an already very tough situation there for a bad Nebraska football team.
Yeah, that's...
All right, go ahead, Alec.
Good look. It's not a good look. I mean, I didn't see the game, to be honest with you, and I just heard the quote, but why even come out and say it? There's nothing good can come of it for you. So, but yeah, it's just not a good look.
Alec, you want to go ahead and pull us out now?
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you everyone for listening to this episode of the Prospect Profits presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. That's right. We are on the podcast network now. We'll be airing on Tuesdays, so be sure to watch then. We'll be back with the Prospect Profits next week for another podcast. We'll also be back Tuesday, Thursday for shows this week and Saturday for the tailgate show. But be sure to tune in tomorrow to hear from our friends over at the Dynasty Draft Room on the NFL Draft Bibles Podcast Network. And we'll see you tomorrow.